temple in Prague every year. But also think about the Parthenon on the Acropolis in Athens. Can you envision it? To see it is to never forget it. You can see column after column after column as it stands there. It's 93 feet long, 63 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. It was started about 446 BC, and they finished it 16 years later. It's the most magnificent temple ruin of the entire world. It's there in Athens, in Greece. But you know, today it's only a pile of dead stones. Even though they're arranged in a beautiful way, it looks fun, it looks good, but those stones can't bring life to anything, can they? Peter describes our faith in Christ as a living hope, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And we've been born again through the living, enduring Word of God. That's chapter 1, verse 23. And today, this passage is going to help us to grow in our salvation and understand that Christ is our living stone. And we can become more like this living stone as we grow in Christ. This phrase, living stone, is kind of a contradiction, isn't it? You know, normally we think of something being stone dead, don't we? You probably pass things on the road to the church today that were stone dead. That's the way we think of it. And it's only in this place in the Bible that God brings these two words together, living stone. This oxymoron says something unique about Christ. Christ is our rock, and Christ is our life. As Christ being our rock, he is steadfast, he is massive, he's solid, he's strong, and he's immovable. But there's another side to it too, isn't there? He's also our life. He's warmth. He's personal. He's life-giving. Both of those things are found in the person of Jesus Christ. He's a living stone. Well, let's look at three points today about becoming like this living stone, becoming more like Christ. First point I found is found in verses 4 through 5a. And I said, you are living stones in God's temple. I read verses 4 through 5a again for you. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into his spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. You see that little phrase there that says, as you come to him? In verse 4, it's not referring to salvation. It's not referring to the first time we come to know Christ. But it's referring to this process of drawing nearer to God, our sanctification, drawing our growth in Christ, our spiritual growth. Verse 3 tells us that we've already tasted that the Lord is good. You don't need to do that again because you've already trusted him as Savior. The verse come in verse 4 is connected to the verse in verse 5, the verb built up. So as we come to him, we are built up in him. We come to him by doing the common things. We read the Word of God. We pray. We are in fellowship with other Christians. We confess sins. And we count God into all those little decisions we make in our lives, even the little ones. What does Christ want me to do today with this decision I'm going to make right now? When I think about this, I think that we're kind of like in the middle of an ongoing construction project. This is a trowel, like I used to use the pottery in Paris when I worked there. So I know how to use these. But Christ is in the process of building his church. These dead stones are being quarried from sin. From sin. And being placed into the church as living stone. They're being given life as living stones. You know, each time a person comes to Christ, another stone is placed into that living, growing church. And, you know, each stone is fitted off. It's sanded. And it fits exactly in that place where God has for it to fit. Because God doesn't make any junk. He makes us to fit right where we're needed. The Word of God causes us to grow into exactly what we need to be. It takes off all these rough edges. See the rough edges on that brick? The Word of God, the Spirit of God, takes all those off and makes us fit exactly into the place where we need to be. We become a part of God's vital plan for his church. You know, without us, without you, without you, without you, something would be missing, and that would be sad. It's not what God wants, because we are living stones in God's temple. That's point number one. The second point that I found in this passage is found in verse 5b through verse 8. And it says in 5 through 8, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they have been destined for." You know, not every believer is called to be a pastor or a preacher or a missionary or evangelist, but you are a holy priest in God's temple. That's point number two. You are a holy priest in God's temple. You're not maybe this professional guy, but you're a full-time priest. And you know what? Everybody's watching. Everybody knows that you're a full-time priest. You can't get away from this. You're some kind of example. You're either a good example or a bad example by the way you live. But you're a priest. You know, what does it look like being a holy priest according to this passage? Is there a job description that maybe we can dig out of these verses that talk about how we should live, what we should be like? Well, I found five or six things in verses 5 through 6 that give us an example or give us ideas about this ministry that we should have. First of all, according to verse 4, we serve the rejected one by men, but chosen one of God. Guess what? What we're doing as priests is not a popularity contest. You're going to be a lot of people out there are not going to really like what we do. We're not going to do this because of some poll that we take. It's a truth presentation by how we live and how we talk among people. Secondly, we're being built into a spiritual house, according to verse 5. This is a continual process. The verb there is being built into something, into a spiritual house. So God's going to use his word. He's going to use other people. He's going to use circumstances that we go through, good ones and bad ones, to build us into what we need to be. Thirdly, we offer spiritual sacrifices, according to verse 5. That's what it says, acceptable to God through Christ, through Jesus Christ. This service, this ministry we have, is sacrificial in nature. It's not something people would normally choose to do, but it's sacrificing as Christ gave. That's the priesthood that we're called to do. Fourthly, it follows the scriptures according to verses 6 through 8. Peter's going to quote three times the Old Testament. Isaiah 28:16, verse 6, verse 7, Psalm 118:22, and verse 8, Isaiah 8:14. This ministry that we have is presenting Jesus to people, and we use revelation from God in order to do that. And that's what's talked about in those three verses. Another thing is we're trusting in the one who will never put us to shame, according to verse 6. And you know, that's really important for people to see. To see that his faith is purposeful. It actually works. That God does not leave him by himself, but God actually works through him. He works through the weak things, the things we would never expect to happen in order to accomplish his will. And the sixth thing I found is that our lives as priests is to be presenting the most important thing, Christ the capstone. You can look at this as either the capstone, it's the brick that holds everything in place, or the keystone, which is kind of like an arch around the door frame. And of course, you don't have the keystone, it all collapses. And so that's what we're doing as priests. We're doing the most important thing, presenting Jesus Christ to people. And man's response to him determines their destiny. What does this look like in different situations? What's it look like in your workplace? What's it look like in your school? I found a story that a man wrote who served 8 years in a prison camp in North Vietnam during the Vietnam War. And he shows us in this short passage of what it meant to be a priest for Jesus Christ, a believer for Jesus Christ, in a situation where there is absolutely no hope. He says, "We each had terrible experiences of being forcefully taken out of ourselves and led to the interrogation rooms. There we experienced untold misery through sadistic torture methods, sometimes for days at a time. When we finally returned to ourselves, broken and beaten physically, mentally, and emotionally, within minutes of the guard throwing us in our cells and locking us in, we would hear," and the prisoners had this code that they used. They tapped on the walls and on pipes and things so the guards didn't know what they meant. So you hear these four taps, and that stood for the letter G. And then you would hear, that stood for the letter B. And then you would hear, It stood for the letter U. G-B-U. God bless you. Those three words became a symbol of strength and understanding for us. Tapping GBU not only meant we wished the blessings of our Creator on our brother, it also meant we understood. It meant that we were not alone. It meant that no matter what we had just endured, men on the other side of the wall were praying for us, rooting for us, and believing we could endure. And somehow that helped us endure. Being a priest, a holy priest in God's temple, God's church, in different situations. That's the second point. Third point, you offer spiritual sacrifices in God's temple acceptable to God. You find that in verses 9 through 10. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter tells us that believer priests are offering up spiritual sacrifices in these two verses. And this is strange because this is the responsibility that was once given to the nation of Israel, and it's now given to the church. Responsibility helps us to grow, don't they? They help us to depend more, to trust him for greater things. God told Moses to tell the nation at Mount Sinai in Exodus 19:6, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation and a people of God. Now the believers in the church are called a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people belonging to God. Because of that, we are acceptable. Because of that, we are valuable. Because of that, we are capable. And because of that, we are forgivable. God did this so that believers might praise him, that we might live, so that these precious qualities and excellencies might be seen through us. As priests, we belong to God. Think about the value of something. How something, sometimes that's very ordinary, increases, that is owned by somebody who's famous. For example, an old dictionary becomes more valuable if it was General Grant's dictionary or Abraham Lincoln's dictionary. Or a chair becomes more interesting and expensive if it's Winston Churchill sat on that chair and wrote his speeches. Our value grows if we are the personal possession of God. He owns us as his priests. We are the personal possessions of God Almighty. We are God's own priests, and we offer sacrifices in the temple that are acceptable to him. In his church, his temple, his house. You are living stones in God's temple. You are a holy priest in God's temple. And you offer spiritual sacrifices in God's temple that are acceptable to him. Three questions as we close. And it's a good thing I'm not ready to close. I'm running out of gas. First question, do you ever think about how people view your actions and attitudes as a priest? You ever think about it? We got to think about that. Secondly, if you stood before a judge, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a living stone that belongs in God's temple? And third question, do you know Christ as your Savior. That's the most important thing. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for giving us the great hope that we have in you. We just trust that you will help us to obey you and understand this living hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.